That's a lot of love. But does God love you? Because that's the only place everlasting love can come from. The answer is in the Bible, God's word to us. I invite you to listen with your ears, your heart, and mind as this subject is explained from the Bible. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, "Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I draw you." God loves you, and he loves you with a love beyond understanding, because there is no human love comparison to divine love. He wants to forgive you. He wants to have a relationship with each and every one of you. As stated in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, "And we have known and believed in the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." It doesn't make any difference how far any of us try to run from God. He loves you. His eyes are on us. He sees you. God loves you. And the Bible says that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, from heaven to this earth for each and every one of us. Christ came to this earth to pay for our sins on the cross. God has a plan for all of our lives. 1 John 4, verses 9 through 11 state, "In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be our propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." God's love is perpetual, an everlasting love. When God loves, it is forever. Experience shows us that everybody has a breaking point in which they give up. This, however, is far from the nature of God. Our everyday experiences teach us one thing, but the eternal is by definition hidden from our experiences. In fact, most things of God are beyond our understanding, our natural experience. This is how we can have a peace that surpasses comprehension. As we read in Philippians 4, verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." This kind of love is beyond our understanding. I have a daughter whom I would never consider giving up. And I'm sure you have children that you and grandchildren that you wouldn't give up. But God, not God. However, as stated in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." His love is based on his character, and his character never changes. As stated in Hebrews 13, verse 8, "Jesus Christ is the same today, same yesterday, today, and forever." And Davis tells us in Psalms 102, verse 27, "But you are the same, and your years will have no end." Our hearts yearn and have a need for love, an eternal love. Eventually, all people are tempted to give up. Have others given up on you? Have you given up on anybody else? God will never, ever even think about giving up on us, on me, on you. This faithful and perpetual love can be seen today through you. You asked how? Well, if we continue to pray and reach out to all people, you will be revealing his love for them. God's love is powerful. As you've heard in the opening scripture, Jeremiah 31:3, "Therefore I have drawn you with loving kindness." But John 12:32 tells us also what Jesus said. "And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. The fact that God loves us personally and perpetually is wonderful. But his love also changes lives. This is because love is powerful. God continues to draw us to himself with loving kindness. John tells us in John 3, verse 16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his love into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." God is faithfully drawing us to himself, continuing his loving kindness towards us, and never letting us go. Why? Because his character is love. He therefore has the constant conduct of love. 1 John 4:8 says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." He loves you personally, perpetually, and powerfully. Have you responded to his love? John 15, verses 9 and 10 tells us more about his love for us. "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Jesus loves us so very much. We are precious and valuable to him. He thinks about us all the time and has wonderful plans for us. The thoughts and plans that he has for us are to give us a future and a hope that is beyond what we could ask for or even think. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." You are a child of God. You belong to him, for he not only created you, he also redeemed you. When he died on the cross for all the sins of the world, John 1, verses 12 and 13 state, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." God created you in his image, and you are important to him. Colossians 1:16 tells us, "For by him all things were created that are in the heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." God knows who you are. He knows your name and everything about you. He cares for you. Luke 12:7 states, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows." And 1 Peter 5, verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." God is not counting your sins against you either. Through Jesus' perfect life and death, you have been reconciled to God. No matter who you are or what you have done, God is not counting your sin against you. You are free to come to him just as you are and be reconciled to him. Psalms 103:10 tells us, "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities." Then in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver and gold, from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." Jesus will tell you the same thing he told the woman who had committed adultery, as stated in John chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. When Jesus raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." You are free to experience his unconditional love for you and leave your life of sin and pain. as told to us in Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. When you call to Jesus, he will answer. When you seek him with all your heart, you will find him, for he is anxious to be found by you. When you give him your permission, he will make his home with you. Jeremiah 29, verses 12 and 13 state, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Also in Revelation 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears me, my voice, and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me. Can you advance the slide? Thank you. Jesus loves you with an everlasting love. Nothing can change that. When you hurt, he is hurting with you, just as a parent suffers when their child is in pain. Romans 8, verses 31 to 35 tell us about God's everlasting love for us. When then shall we say to these things? Is God for us? Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? It goes on to state in Romans 8, verses 38 to 39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights or depths, nor any other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow, such love. Think about it. All human pain and suffering is ultimately the result of Adam and Eve's choice to learn about evil. When they sinned, Jesus immediately stepped in to be the Savior of the world. Sin is a disease. It originated with Lucifer in heaven. It became a plague because it infected a third of the angels in heaven. Lucifer came to earth. He infected Eve. She infected Adam. This disease affects God's love. And you might say it's God's enemy, or love's enemy. For it is unselfish love that is turned into counterfeit of selfish love. This disease of sin is responsible for all of mankind's troubles and woes, as it attacks our willingness to surrender our will to God. Jesus is our doctor and our medicine for this disease. We must be willing to take our medicine, surrendering our will to God and obeying his commandments out of love for our Savior. Let us read in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good and for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of it, of its fruit, and ate. Her husband with her, and he ate. So sin entered our world, and mankind is now under the penalty of death. Is this the end or not? Here is what John the Baptist stated about Jesus in John 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And the Bible says in 1 John 2, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2, "And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." Jesus gives us hope. Through Jesus' perfect life and death, he was able to free the human race from the kingdom of darkness and qualify everyone for eternal life. As a result, everyone is now free to choose to live with him and forever, now and forever, or persistently cling unto sin and evil. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 14 tells us, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of inheritance of the saints in the light, he has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin." Furthermore, in Romans 5, verse 18, "Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life." Could you advance the slide again? Thank you. When Jesus was on this earth, his mission was to share good news with the poor, heal the brokenhearted, and free people enslaved by sin. In other words, to seek and save the lost. Satan has told many lies about him in order to lead people to reject him. He seeks to steal, kill, and destroy as many of us as he can. Jesus, however, came so everyone might experience the abundant life that was originally intended for the human race. Luke 4:18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Let us read Revelation 12, verses 7 through 9. "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And sin came to the earth." And Satan tries to keep us all in sin. So as stated in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In Revelation 12, verse 12, we are giving a warning about Satan. "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come to you, having great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." Satan is after each and every one of us. He doesn't want us to be with God. John 8, verse 44 tells us of Satan's followers who not only were infected by Satan with the disease of sin, but helped Satan to spread it, and of Satan himself. "You are the father of the devil." and desire of your father is what you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan bitterly hates humans who are created in God's image. He can't touch God, so instead his venom is directed against the people who are God's children. He is hateful, a vicious murderer whose aim is to destroy you and me to hurt God. Remember what is said in John 10:10 about Satan and Jesus. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus invites you to come to him just as you are. He will accept you with all your hurt and failure. In fact, the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are poor in spirit and those who recognize their brokenness and need for him as their savior. Let us look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are laden and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you invite Jesus to be your Savior and Lord, you will be born again. The Holy Spirit will lead you to all truth, and the truth will set you free. As you replace the lies of Satan with the truth from the Bible, your life will be transformed. You will experience freedom from fear, guilt, and shame. In John chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. John 8, verse 31 and 32 says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But you might say, I'm already free. Well, let us read on in John 8, verses 34 to 36. Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Romans 12, verse 2 gives us some good advice. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfectly will of God. You will discover new meaning and purpose in life as you share your story with others. Invite them to experience his love and be reconciled with God. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God we're pleading, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. I'm going to ask each and every one of you, are you sharing your story with others? Love always gives freedom. Jesus will never force you to receive the truth or the blessings he is anxious to give you. If you don't want them, he will allow you to pursue the pathway you choose, even though it will bring you much pain and heartache. Even then, he will be waiting for you to call out for help. When you do, he will assure you of his forgiveness and help you experience healing from the brokenness caused by your sinful choices. Proverbs 14:12 tells us, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. And in James chapter 1, verses 14 to 15, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. But 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 states, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from our unrighteousness. But if you persistently choose to cling unto sin, you will eventually hate God, not want to come into his presence. In fact, you will come to the point that you'd rather die than live with him forever. Out of love, he will honor your choice, and you'll perish in the end. John 3:16-20 informs us of this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Revelation 20, verse 15 tells us, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There is hope for all, as we are told in Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But if you want Jesus to be your Savior, you will not be disappointed. You will experience love that casts out fear, peace that passes understanding, and joy that no one can take away from you. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And listen to 1 John chapter 4, verse 17-19. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is, and so we are in this world. Therefore, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And Philippians 4, verses 6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When you are tempted to satisfy your cravings and in unhealthy ways, he will enable you to have self-control and remind that the blessings he gives you will truly satisfy. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 states, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Romans 12:2 instructs us, and do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How can we do this? Well, remember Philippians 4:13 tells us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is how we can do this. Jesus will enable you to be patient with others as they are growing, and will transform you so that kindness, compassion, and forgiveness flow from within you. Ephesians 4:32 tells us, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Listen to 1 Peter 4, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, let all that you do be done with love. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8 gives us a definition of love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish. And Titus 3, verse 8 through 9, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable for men, but avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. And hearken to Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Trust Jesus to take care of your enemies. When you are mistreated, misunderstood, or taken advantage of, your natural desire will be to seek revenge. Choose instead to allow Jesus to discipline those who have hurt you. While doing so, he will seek to reach their hearts. In the long run, the best way to relate to your enemies is to love them. They will either humble their hearts and become your friend, or try to avoid you out of their own shame. When he was mistreated and nailed to the cross, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." After he was resurrected, many confessed their sins, repented, and became his disciples. Listen to the Lord in Romans 12, verse 17 to 21. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. It is possible as much depends on you. Live peacefully with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not overcome evil by evil, but overcome evil with good. Luke 22, verse 34, then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. Also in Luke 6, 27 to 28, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. We need to look beyond the faults and see the need. Instead of seeking revenge, choose to be gentle with people. Look beyond their faults, understand their needs, and care for them in healthy ways while maintaining proper boundaries. Don't be afraid to speak the truth, but do so always in love. Jesus knows all this will take a miracle, for you are helpless to do anything good apart from him. Your part is to choose to love. The Holy Spirit will work the miracles within you. Great advice is also found in Luke 6, 35. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. And in Galatians 5, verses 13 to 15, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Romans 12, verse 20 to 21 tells us, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink, for in so doing you will heap coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. As you experience Jesus, this unconditional love, you will grow into maturity and learn to love others as Jesus loves you. People will be drawn to him by the light that shines of your life. Colossians 3:14 states, "But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." And in Romans 12, verse 9 to 10, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another." So as in Matthew 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." John 13, 34 to 35 states, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Jesus will soon bring an end to all sin and death. Soon the day will come when Jesus will return to earth and take to heaven all who want to live with him forever. All those who have fallen asleep, trusting him, will be resurrected with brand new bodies. John 6:40 tells us, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And listen to what is said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." Jesus longs for the day you will be together with him, again in person. After all sin is destroyed and the earth is cleansed by fire, he will create a new heaven and a new earth. All tears will be wiped away, and there will be no more pain, crying, sorrow, or death. Now, 2 Peter 3:10 to 13 state, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we are, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Revelation 21:1 states, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more seas." And Revelation 21:4 goes on, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Until then, trust Jesus. He will take care of you, for he loves you with all his heart. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 to 7, give us this advice. "Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." John 14:23 states, "Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him." To God, love is a personal matter, a deep desire which reflects God's heart. Since he demonstrated this love personally, we need to respond personally to him by trusting in Jesus and personally receiving his love. This is also why we share him with others. Romans 10:21, Jesus says, "All day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people." God continues to reach out, refusing to take the hint. How are his hands seen today? They're your hands and my hands. As our hearts are yielded to his heart, our hands reach out on his behalf to those he loves. And Jesus wept over Jerusalem because of the lost spiritual state of so many of his people. As stated in Luke 19:41, "Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it." Today, he continues to weep. But if he weeps and we remain unconcerned, we are not walking closely with our God, for he personally loves us and cares for us and the lost sheep. I conclude with these scriptures. 1 Corinthians 13:13. "Now abide in faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." And in John 14:21, with Jesus telling us, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." God loves you with an everlasting love. I will repeat Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him and he with me." Do you hear him? Open the door to your heart. Let him come in.